Dzień dobry. Zaczynamy, proszę Państwa. Chciałam wszystkich serdecznie przywitać na prezentacji wynikowej Grupy Banku Zachodniego WBK za trzy kwartały 2015.
Co? Zaczynasz?
Nie słyszę. Kurde, nie słyszę.
We've got Wojciech Skalski with us, head of financial.
Agnieszka Dobrzycka, ja odpowiadam za
Poland. And my name is Agnieszka Dobrzycka. I'm in charge of investor relations. Mr. President.
Nie słyszę.
Okay, so we have completed another quarter with a lot of success despite this harsh environment, low interest rates and a lot of macroeconomic challenges. We are very satisfied with the results and the trends we observe here at our bank. And starting from the first things first, in terms of net interest margin, something we've been highlighting quarter after quarter. We thought that maybe it could be reduced, but in the end we have defended the level. We've got 357. So through low granularity in our margin policy in terms of deposits, we have managed to actually improve NIM to 3.57%. Over the following quarter, it's difficult to say what it's going to be like, but in terms of interest rates, however, we cannot assume that we will still improve that figure.
In individual categories of our business lines, which are the main contributors to the profit and loss account, I can just give you a few highlights and observations of ours. First, we grow much above the market as regards profitable credit portfolios like SME, mid-corporate, consumer loans, credit cards, or overdrafts. But not only in these categories, but also in the lower margin segments, we do well. Just like mortgage loans, where the margins are below 200 basis points, the market grew 5% year on year, while our growth was 49%. This is the second best sale on the market, and the major growth in the market share in the product that is safe, which finally we transformed into the product that actually makes our customers loyal. Everybody was saying, used to say that this is the loyalty cross-sell product, but frankly speaking, it was not the case always. But in the recent 3 to 6 months, I can tell you that 86% of the newly sold, launched mortgage loans give us a lot of wages flowing to our accounts, much more than 45% noted a couple of years ago. The SME portfolios keep growing nicely. The pace is two-digit, and the dynamics of the credit decisions in the first three quarters is 30% after credit decisions. So in absolute terms, it's probably a bit less, but this is a strong two-digit growth. 60% of credit decisions for investment loans. Well, we haven't seen such a figure for a long time, and that's what we noted in the SME portfolio for investment loans. 60% is after credit decisions. Also, the credit volumes for SMEs keeps twice as quickly as the market. The market grew by 8% based on our estimates and NBP data, while our growth was 14% in the SME segment, including Santander Consumer Bank year on year. At the same time, the share in NPLs in the SME segment decreased, and I will tell you more about that later. Other credit portfolios, credit cards. We sell more than 20,000 cards per month. We have 761,000 credit cards, 3.2 million of debit cards, and 960,000 of prepaid cards. In this catalog, credit cards are increasingly stronger contributor to our profit and loss due to the decreasing interchange. But thanks to credit cards, we can actually gain additional credit and transactional income. So the credit card is a very important product for us. We are getting very quickly to reach 1 million of cards in issue. Probably it will be difficult to meet that target next year, but I think within 2 years this is doable, and this is very important, positive, well-measured business line in terms of risk. As for cash loans, on some slide, Agnieszka, probably you can show this to us. We have the growth here by 8%. This is a very good portfolio as regards risk-reward. We are very happy with it. And you know very well that we have the challenges as the whole market in terms of the Lombard rate. We partially manage with that by increasing fees a little bit. So we have very good outturn with a sound portfolio. I've already mentioned the SME portfolio, corporate loans portfolio, and business loans portfolio overall. Because there are three or four portfolios in this category, our 12 regional centers generates one. The portfolio property is another portfolio. Then we have large corpo, about 500,000 in turnover, and GBM, global banking and markets. So there are 35 largest corporations operating in this country. The likes of KGHM and Pekka Orlen are in that portfolio. And I have to tell you that we were a bit wrong. I thought that GBM portfolio would be growing very quickly. That's what we were saying. We were talking about two-digit growth, but it's not so much visible in our portfolio. But what grows very quickly are business loans, 11% year on year, and in quarter three alone, the growth was by 4 to 5%, and the property loans started to grow. And this is a change in the message that we are giving to you, because over the last 6-7 years, together with Eamon, we were telling you, please keep it in mind that year on year, the property will be decreasing from 15.8 billion in 2008. It shrank, it slipped down to, sorry for being so colloquial, to 7.5 billion, so more than half. But now we are rebuilding this portfolio, and we can see the growth of 3% year on year, but the recent 3 months have been very important. So the dynamics has been very positive quarter on quarter, 10-12%. In the second portfolios, we not only saw a positive change upwards, and we don't want to shrink it further, but in the upcoming quarters and years, we can promise to you and to ourselves that we want to have this portfolio growing, primarily in large cities, especially property loans enjoy interest in the case of commercial investments in Warsaw. The third of the portfolios, and that's quite an interesting thing. I don't know whether I can let you into the secret, but this large portfolio used to be 2.2 billion 2 years ago. A year ago, it decreased to 1.5 billion by 25-30% roughly. And now this year, we are on the right track to get it grow by 30%. But comparing apples to apples, we will only match the level of that we noted 2 years ago, but we are very happy with the pace of growth. We have a good pipeline. This is highly profitable, and we have really good dynamics on that portfolio. And the fourth portfolio that I mentioned, that is GBM, of the largest corporations, the volumes alone here grow below what we budgeted, but the profitability on the clients is in sync with our assumptions. Very positive. And we have nicely growing cross-sell here year on year. So we get the customer engaged in the relationship with us, so they stay with us through bad and good times. So good picture of the loan portfolio, both as regards the pace of growth in individual sub-portfolios, as regards profitability, but also as regards the risk of that portfolio.
So maybe I'll just quickly refer to the risk. At the moment, the NPL ratio is above, slightly above 8% coverage ratio, close to 60%, and risk charge at 0.89%. In the fourth quarter, we are preparing some transactions to liquidate some of our NPLs, so we may expect reductions in that level over the next 6 or 9 months, and this reduction will be quite significant according to our plans. In turn, this will refer to mortgage and SME loans. We're also working on some bigger deals concerning that portfolio. In terms of risk charge, we always recommend comparing it to our asset mix. So this level at 0.89, we always tell you to compare it with 3.57%, which is our NIM, because this is how we manage our portfolios and sub-portfolios, because where we've got a higher reward, of course, we allow ourselves to take more risk. So in terms, this is our asset mix. As an example, one of our main competitors contains in their portfolio, they've got 18, and another portfolio contains 10 billion of loans to local governments. We've got 200 million, so that's nothing. So if we had about 10 billion, we could achieve that result in 5 minutes, because there are a lot of tenders on the market right that generate about 20 bips on the deal. What would happen? NPLs would go down, you know, it would look good. NIM would be lower considerably. And at the same time, our risk charge would also be lower, because, you know, there is no risk on those transactions. But do we want this kind of model? Are we looking at the return on assets? Are we looking at RORAC? What are the ratios we want to look at? So these are the questions the management board have been asking themselves. So we want to invest in the Polish economy. We want to achieve double-digit growth in SME, corpo, but we also want to generate returns for our shareholders. So we could think of another portfolio with lower returns, and this is why I started with GBM. If we have some loans with very low margin, we don't really fight to get those, because we think that the margin should also reflect the risk. So this is what I wanted to tell you. It wasn't brief in the end, but this is what it looks like in terms of coverage ratio, NPLs, and risk charge management. Now, just very briefly, in terms of deposit, we've seen some high growth over the last months. Year on year, we have achieved a growth about 2 or 3%, but the format has changed slightly compared to to 6 years ago in terms of active deposit margin management. The term deposits fell by 7%, and we've got a growth of 30% on growth in savings deposits and current deposits. So this is the most profitable mix for a bank, and we like the way it looks. And once a year, we have a campaign to acquire deposits. And over the last 2 months, maybe you haven't seen it. We started it in October. You don't see it in the presentation, but we've seen some high growth in. We saw some high growth in October, and we think the loan to deposit ratio will also go up, because I think it's about 89% at for BZWBK standalone, and then you've got a figure for a combined figure. So this is a good result comparing against the harsh result, and we use the deposits for funding. So we have to prefer against the interest rates. Clients are looking for investment options, and we've got two areas we're concentrating on. The first one are the structured products. We've sold over 2.5 billion of them, and in quarter three alone, 1.2 billion. So this is record high sale in terms of structured products, 1.2 billion. We've got a win-win here, because there is no risk here, guaranteed capital, so there is no risk like we saw on the insurance savings deposit. Also, Bank Zachodni never sold those, and we also see growth in terms of profit, and our margin is higher compared to the term deposit. So we're satisfied with the strategy of cross-sell. We've got something we can offer to customers that can be attractive to customers. Another bucket we're investing in for clients that are looking for higher returns are, of course, here they can use investment funds. We could see higher profit here. We're not very happy with that area. It's not very bad. However, we're still restructuring our investment funds. The last figure I wanted to refer to refers to costs. It's difficult to calculate them because we are going through a merger process with Santander Consumer, Aviva. They appeared in our figures in the second quarter. We've got higher integration costs. Last year and this year, about 30 million. This year, so compared apples to apples, our costs are flat at about 0.4% over the 9 months when we compare the first 9 months of this year with the first 9 months of last year.
So we manage costs in a prudential and economic way. This is our strength of our solid profit and loss account, with the profitability one of the highest on the market, if not the highest. Apart from that, let me tell you about a few other things than profit and loss account. First of all, we received information from KNF on additional capital requirements related to loans in franc, in Swiss franc, and that's 0.72% additional requirement, one of the lowest on the market. And we can't see any problem here, even if we add this additional capital buffer of 1.25, we are comfortable in terms of dividends capital. As for dividend, of course, once we go through over the first hurdle for the assessment of that is the assessment of a Swiss franc portfolio, we are waiting for a letter from KNF that we should get by the end of this year to analyze better the dividend position in 2014 and 2015. But that will be more in January, February next year, when we will debate that at the management board meeting as usual. The second thing I would like to mention is the more thorough transformation experienced by retail banking on the whole market, especially in BZWBK. This refers to the number of branches, the reduction of the number of branches in the next 12 to 18 months. We want to integrate a number of, a few tens of branches with some others, especially when we have many branches in one town. We have 850 branches overall. So this is a certain headroom for us, for our efficiency ratios and for our efficiency story. We will be reducing our dependence on the brick and mortar presence because more and more clients shift towards internet banking, online banking, mobile banking. The branches are getting empty in some places. And without any rapid movements, we want to manage this process in a reasonable manner, just like a good housekeeper would like to manage their belongings. And this is very important cost-wise, but we also want to keep relationships with all the clients we have in these branches. So this actually takes a lot of our time. Apart from that, as part of our Next Generation Bank program, we have a few pillars which develop very nicely. We've already introduced the first stage of our new CRM, and next year we will definitely in Formula One, but well, not in, okay, sorry for that, I'm taking this back. We will definitely be in the top positions, will be on the podium as regards the use of mobile solutions by 4 million of our clients. And we are very happy with this growth. The second pillar, this the Simple Bank. And there are a few very interesting initiatives underway that will allow us to reduce our costs over the next 12 to 24 months. The paperless bank, the banking from home banking solutions, just these strap lines probably tell you a lot. Even if others do that as well, I think that our track record confirms that we are serious in what we are promising. And I think that this, together with the restructuring of branches, will actually allow us to improve our cost-to-income ratio over the next 3 years. And that's what I wanted to mention to you as well. And before I hand over to Eamon, let me tell you that the strategy of our bank actually focuses strongly on the development of regular relationship-based business with clients. We do not avail of once-off. We try to search for recurring business with the soundest, best possible margins. And we believe that with the turmoil our retail banking sector experienced worldwide, especially in Poland, that in this at this stage, we will come out as winners from that race. So thank you very much. Just as the introduction, I'll hand over to our CFO.
Thank you, Mateusz. So I'm just turning everyone's attention to slide 25, which is net interest income. The quarter three net interest income was 1.09 billion, which is just under 6% higher, or 58 million higher versus quarter two. And given the impact of interest rate reductions over the last 12 months, 5% or 63 million lower versus quarter 3 2014. When we exclude the impact of SCB in quarter 3, which added 268 million to our net interest income line, BZWBK net interest income has reduced by 8% year on year, so that's versus quarter 3 last year, and that equates to 73 million, but it increased by 4% quarter on quarter. So very good performance, and that equated to 44 million. We continue to see growth in the SCB net interest income line as they grow their core consumer book, which has grown by 11% year on year, and they're continuing to reduce their cost base by way of cost of funding. The quarter three net interest margin was 3.57. That's an increase of 9 basis points quarter on quarter and a reduction of 46 basis points year on year relating to quarter three. SCB's margin increased by 30 basis points in the quarter. And when you exclude SCB from the calculation, BZWBK's NIM increased by 5% quarter on quarter. Or 5 basis points apart, apologies. So good performance both in SCB and BZWBK. The result of this, as mentioned by the President, is that we've improved our loan mix particularly on the retail and SME side of our book, and then supported by stronger growth in corporate. And we've also worked quite hard on funding costs, particularly around increasing customer loyalty, increasing linkage, and increasing the level of current and savings account. And that will be a feature of our strategy for the next quarters. We expect net interest income and the margin to be stable in quarter four. If interest rates remain stable, we should see some recovery in the net interest income and net interest margin in 2016. But the market at this moment is pricing in interest rate reductions sometime next year, so we'll have to wait and see. If we turn to slide 26, quarter three net fees were 483 million. That's a reduction of 19 million or 4% quarter on quarter, but that's explained by the fact that SCB fees in quarter two were higher by 10% because they received some one-off insurance fees relating to a performance fee in effect, and that has the impact of showing the reduction quarter on quarter. SCB delivered 50 million to the fee income line, as I mentioned, down 10%. Otherwise, fees in BZ Vubica were more or less stable. If you adjust for the SCB impact, fees and commissions were 433 million. And the key aspect here is that is only 1% lower than the level of fees that BZ Vubica earned this time last year. So for quarter three 2014 versus quarter three 2015, only 1% lower, which highlights the execution of our strategy through customer engagement, customer and transactions, and in effect replacing interchange income with other income lines.
Interchange peak to trough drop was by 200 million zlotys, roughly speaking. So you can imagine what kind of additional transactional fees we have to generate to compensate for this. 2013 to 2015, not 2014 to 2015, because the drop was twofold.
Just to give you some more detail, card income was 2% higher quarter on quarter. That equates to 6 million. Year to date, income was 21% lower. And to tie back into the President's comment, that's 40 million lower year on year in the quarter alone. Credit card fees, where we sold 56,000 cards in quarter three, and that's a total of 170,000 credit cards for year to date, continue to grow. And we're up 27% year on year. So again, it highlights the comments by the President earlier on. Credit fees were lower by 7% quarter on quarter, but that was after a very strong quarter two performance due to seasonal or quarterly matters, particularly in the corporate and GBM area. Insurance income was stable during the quarter. Customer and other income, which is made up of current account fees and FX, was flat quarter on quarter, but up 5% year on year. Quarter three capital markets fees reduced by 8%, but this was actually due to a one-off issue arrangement fee which we earned in quarter two, so it was more one-off related given the quarterly movement. Assets under management increased by 7% year on year, with net fee increasing 9%. So in prior quarters, we had a situation where fees were actually were lower than asset management growth, but that has settled. However, the quarter-on-quarter fees in asset management were lower by 5%. Lower than quarter two, but this was due to a 5% reduction in assets under management. So particularly in July, there was a significant amount of volatility in the market, which has caused an outflow of assets or cash from investment funds, and this is a common feature across the market. But where we've seen it flow to is into structured deposits and into our deposit base as well, where we're offering attractive interest rates for customers. So the volatility is having some impact on the asset management business, and as the President mentioned, we are working to restructure the composition of funds within that segment. Brokerage fees were stable quarter on quarter. Again, the volatility issue has continued to impact fees through this year. If I turn to slide 27, just to remind you, the main item here relates to the pre-tax gain of 523 million, which we recorded in the first quarter relating to our insurance JVs. If we focus on quarter three, we had realised gains on our investment bonds of 32 million. That is versus 41 million in quarter two. And in total, we've realised 261 million year to date versus 54 million in the equivalent period last year. We also recorded a gain of 9 million on the sale of an equity investment in the quarter, which relates to a disposal of a holding we had. A net trading income and valuation was 38 million, which was a reduction of 9 million quarter on quarter. The main elements here, as normal, relate to FX and derivative transactions, and the reduction reflects the volatility in the environment in quarter three. Dividends were quite low in the quarter, but I just note that in quarter two we did record 90 million of dividends from Aviva, so it has some impact on the quarter and quarter review. On other income, quarter three income was 28 million, which is 7 million lower than quarter two. More or less, nothing to report on that line of any significance. If I turn to costs on slide 28, total costs for quarter three were 813 million. That's 3% lower quarter on quarter. When you exclude SCB and integration costs, our costs have increased by 4% year on year, but this is due to the imposition of the banking guarantee, and we've actually made savings on that level of increase, and we will continue to try and manage that as we go along on our cost base. I should note here that we will record 26.4 million in costs in quarter four, and this relates to the imposition of an industry-wide fine which covers 18 banks concerning the level of interchange fees charged by those banks in the past. So that will be recorded in quarter four, and it's 26.4 million. BZ Vubica headcount numbers reduced by around 150 headcount, or FTEs I should say, during the quarter, and are lower by about 400 year on year. SCB's headcount were just slightly lower at this moment. So if we just turn to slide 29, which is the provision and loan loss provision and credit quality. The year to date provision charge was 54 million, which is flat year on year. When you exclude the impact of SCB, the year-to-date provision charge for BZ Vubica was slightly lower, something in the region of about 10 million. The quarter three provision charge was 201 million, which is 24% higher quarter on quarter. However, you have to recall that in quarter two, SCB had a positive impact on the provision charge of 15 million. And in quarter three, their provision charge is 39 million. So there's a reversal of 54 million in on that line quarter on quarter. That 39 million level that I mentioned for SCB would represent a higher normalised provision level for SCB given their loan growth. So their provisions, loans are growing quite well, and they're obviously providing IBNR on those IBNR coverage on those loans as they grow. If you exclude SCB, the BZ Vubica provision level was lower quarter on quarter. So that highlights the continuing downward movement by way of provision charge and the performance of the BZ Vubica underlying credit book. The analysed provision charge, as mentioned by the President, is 89 basis points. The coverage ratio is 52%. SCB's coverage ratio was 89%, and that's stable quarter on quarter. The NPL ratio is 8.12%, SCB's NPL ratio is 9.8%, and that's a 50 basis points reduction year on year for SCB. Again, for quite a stable position by way of our NPLs. If I move to the sale of NPL portfolios, they total 65 million in quarter three. This was purely related to BZWBK and provided a positive after-tax impact in the quarter of 7 million for BZWBK. The year-to-date NPL sales have led to a positive tax impact in total for BZWBK of 13 million and for SCB of 49 million, which is the after-tax impact on their profit. As mentioned by the President, we're working hard on managing our NPL portfolio. In quarter four, we expect a reduction of the NPL ratio below 8% and an increase in the provision charge relating to the exit of some old, larger legacy cases. Exiting these cases will have, obviously, the added benefit for us by way of reducing our OWAs and also benefiting our capital ratios. So this is something we've been signalling for a number of quarters, indeed a number of years, post the acquisition of Credit Bank, that it was our intention to move our NPL ratio downwards, and that's something that's going to start at a faster pace in this next quarter and in future quarters. But it will lead to a an additional provision charge relating to the reduction of NPLs in quarter four. But if you exclude this item, the underlying provision charge for BZ Vubica will continue to move in a downward level. So I should highlight the added benefits that managing this portfolio will have on, as I say, RWAs and our capital ratios. So that's something we'll come back to in quarter four. So if I move to slide 29, or slide 29, actually you're quite familiar with it. It relates to our Swiss franc mortgage exposure. I won't dwell on it. It's there for information. So if I move to slide 31, the profit before tax, apologies, I might have the numbers wrong here, excuse me. The profit before tax is 2.8 billion, which is 43% higher quarter on slide 31, apologies. So it's 2.8 billion, which is 43% higher year on year. If you exclude integration costs for both years, if you take out the bank assurance gain, if you take out SCB, which delivered 493 million in profit before tax in the first three quarters, the profit before tax is 4% higher year on year, which is, again, a good performance. Some of that relates to how we have reflected gains and bonds in last year versus this year, but at this moment we're 4% higher year on year. The quarter three effective tax rate was 21%, and the year to date effective tax rate is 19.6%. So if we just move to slide 33, this relates to our capital ratios. We provided more detail in this presentation given recent correspondence from the regulator. So this slide outlines our current level of core Tier 1 and total capital. You can see both SCB and BZWBK have strong capital levels, and we continue to generate excess capital in our respective business models. I want to just make a few additional points. The undistributed dividend from 2014 equates to just under 1 billion, and it is included in the Tier 1 ratio as defined by guidelines from capital calculation from the European Central Bank and the KNF, and it equates to about 100 basis points of the ratio. And a decision on the payment of this will be made in advance of the next annual general meeting, which will be in 2016, as mentioned by the President. I'm more confident that this dividend, we'll be in a position to pay this dividend, but we have to wait until further analysis and further correspondence from the regulator with respect to the rules and guidelines for 2015. As mentioned by the President, we received a notice from the regulator which we communicate to the market that we have an additional capital buffer of 72 basis points for total capital, of which 54 basis points should be added to our Tier 1 ratio. I note, along with the President, that this is the lowest level among our peers and highlights the quality and the approach we've taken to our FX book over many years at this stage. For your information, SCB's additional capital buffer is 107 basis points for total capital, and there is a 75% of that is applied to Tier 1. With regard to 2015 profits, the capital ratios do not include any profits from 2015 at this moment, because we're awaiting confirmation for the regulator with regard to their inclusion. But just to highlight to you, in the first 6 months, we've generated about 120 basis points of capital. It's our policy that we retain 50% of that, which will equate to about 60 basis points on the capital once approved. And that relates to the first half year. So it highlights the ability of our business model to generate capital and to actually build on our capital base and pay dividends. And as I mentioned, we'll await further instruction from the regulator with regard to the approach for the 2015 profit distribution. So if we just turn to slide 34, if you exclude integration costs, the Aviva consolidation impact, and the once-off gain that we recognised from that, the reorganisation of our insurance business, the cost income ratio was 46.3%. We managed to achieve the integration costs, excuse me, and bank assurance, we achieved a 14.1% ROE level. And it's also impacted by the acquisition of SCB last year, and you can see that their profits are flowing through, but we'll see the annual impact in quarter four, and higher equity balances because we retain dividends. So, you know, they have some impact on your ROE number, but it's been relatively stable year on year, which, again, in the year of interest rate reductions, interchange reduction, and many other things, is quite a good performance. So in summary, the quarter three results, together with the year-to-date results, present what I would call quite a solid, resilient performance. But particularly, we're happy with the good customer engagement and transaction volumes that we're seeing in our business, and also how we are, quarter by quarter, reorganising and reorientating our business towards multi-channel approach, together with closer customer activity, as you can see by way of our increased current and savings account balances. So this is this is something we are very focused on as a managing board, as mentioned by the President, and will continue as part of our strategy in the next quarters. So thank you very much.
Dziękuję i zapraszam Państwa do zadawania pytań.
Thank you very much, and please go ahead with your questions.
I have a question on your four-quarter sale of NPLs. Given what you've commented on, I have a feeling that this will happen with the P&L loss. Can you confirm that?
Yes. Well, in effect, we will have a higher provision charge related to the sale of some legacy NPLs, yes.
And given the fact that most Polish banks, when they sell NPLs, they actually make money instead of lose money, don't you think that it would actually be second consecutive transaction when you are selling your, I think the previous one was the mortgage transaction, which also was negative for the P&L. Does it say something on the provisioning levels of the bank?
I don't recognize your comment on mortgage, the mortgage loss. But we can come back to that.
There was an NPL sale in mortgages a year ago.
There was an NPL sale, but I don't think it was at a loss margin. I don't think so.
But I refer to... Okay,
but... Maybe very little.
Just to comment on that, you know, the sale of mortgage NPLs is a very early product by way of the market. So, it may explain that. But we can come back to that separately. I did refer in my comment that it was larger NPLs, and larger NPLs have a different characteristic to selling a cash loan book or an SME book, and have different characteristics to the negotiation on the sale and, you know, the performance of underlying assets. So primarily it relates to larger type transactions. And you should remember that when we acquired KB, we went from a 5% NPL ratio to nearly 8%. So we've a lot of maturer, larger corporate type transactions that form part of our NPLs.
Is the P&L impact so negative that it's going to like materially influence your quarterly results, or is it just a minor negative number, just for our, let's say, forecasting of the fourth quarter?
Okay, so by way of our annual results, not material. By way of our quarter four results, not necessarily material either, but it will be an increase quarter on quarter. Because if you look at the provision charge at the moment is primarily underlying book, non-NPL. When you do these types of transactions, you end up with some impact. maybe I'll give you some further guidance over the next period on that, but I don't expect it to be material by way of the overall profitability for the year. Coming back to your mortgage question, naturally, in that regard, we also, when we look at SME or cash loan or mortgage portfolios, of which we haven't done much mortgage, we also have to consider the cost of recovery. And you have to look at how long that recovery will take, the impact of that recovery by way of the performance of the underlying asset. And mortgages, by their nature, have a different characteristic to just being a cash loan or an SME. There's more of a long-term relationship there.
Maybe just to close the issue of the sale of NPLs. Is Santander Consumer Bank...
May I ask you to speak louder?
Just to close the issue of the sale of NPLs. Are you aware that Santander Consumer Bank also is planning some transaction in 4Q?
No.
Maybe you plan some optimization of your capital position, meaning that it seems that you have quite a lot of space in the CET1 ratio, but not so much space on capital adequacy ratio. Do you plan to do anything with the Tier 2 capital, or do you think it's unnecessary? Also,
hasn't been necessary to date, and obviously we have, for the last number of quarters, we've been awaiting clarity from the regulator with regard to what the requirements would be. In that regard, we haven't been active in raising Tier 2 capital until we saw a clearer picture with regard to the capital position. But if we have to issue some Tier 2, we would. But at this moment, we don't believe we have to. But there's further clarity to be received, to be issued by the regulator with regard to the 2015 dividend payment in 2016, and then we could take some action. It hasn't, no other reason than that, than we're waiting for it to see clarity, and we've been generating capital in our own business anyway.
Just to clarify, because it was really confusing in these statements by the banks, that I think by accident we learned from PKRBP statement that KNF is actually increasing the floor from 9% to 10.25 and from 12 to 13.25.
That's right.
So on top of that, we should add the buffer to look at the real capital requirement that you have for next year, right?
Correct.
The buffer, which is the 72 basis points. In our case.
And the 125.
And the 125, which you said, from 9 to 10.
The capital conservation buffer applies on the 1st of January.
Maybe just follow up. Can you confirm that we should be looking only at the stand-alone level, or do you need to meet the requirements on both the consolidated level and the stand-alone level?
Well, the letter received from the regulator is addressed to the bank. But as I say, once we receive the further clarification on the dividend, we will have further clarity on that. So that's what I can say there.
Two or three questions on 3Q numbers. In your operating costs, in your admin operating costs, there is something like a significant drop in the costs related to the BGF, KNF, and basically regulatory fees by something like 5 or 10 million quarter on quarter. Can you explain that? Please.
Lisa, we'll just look at that now. So, have you a further question?
Maybe in Polish.
Yes. This refers only to this regulatory payment to KNF, because BFG is spread evenly across the year, but KNF is verified in quarter three. And we got some return here, just like in the previous year. The payment to KNF is paid in the first 6 months, and in quarter four it will not be there. So it will be comparable with quarter three.
Is that you experience a drop in the fees related to accounts, purely to the accounts, by 5 or 6 million quarter on quarter? I must admit that it's quite surprising, given that the banks are pushing and informing that they are revising upwards their fees. what we can expect in coming quarters?
Well, we were saying eaten bread is soon forgotten. You know, we increased our current account fees by 18% year on year since quarter four last year. This purely relates to the mix of current accounts that we have. We have a strategy of trying to encourage transaction activity with regard to our customers, because we see the benefit of loyalty and cross-sell and different products, and we measure on that basis. And in the case where customers are transacting less, they pay a fee. So in that regard, it's actually quite a positive visa, because we get the income across other fee lines.
And also we have introduced for the first time an offer free of charge for SME customers. We didn't have it. We have treated this as a very powerful acquisition tool. It proved successful from the acquisition point of view, but you're right, in terms of maintenance or account fee, it did have impact quarter three or quarter two.
Okay, and the last question from my side, this restructuring fund regarding the mortgages, how much cost you will incur, and whether it will be incurred in 4Q or over 2016? Could you please help us with some guidance on that?
So we estimate 25 million.
Just for BZ WBK or including Santander?
That's just for BZ WBK.
And should we expect it in the cost in the fourth quarter?
Well, as I understand it, we're waiting for clarity from the Stabilisation Committee in order with regard to the level and the date at which they'll set the fee itself, and it'll purely be driven by that decision. I understand it has to kick off in February, it really depends. So it could be in quarter four.
Okay, thank you very much.
Czy są jeszcze jakieś pytania?
Do you have any other questions?
You said that it should be, maybe it will be expanding a little bit, obviously if there are no rate cuts. I just wanted to know if you would be expecting more on the cost of funding optimization or loan mix. That's the first question. Second one, if there is a rate cut, let's say 50 bps, then what would happen to the NIM? What, you have previously provided us with some kind of sensitivity, both for BZW and for Santander. I was wondering if you could tell us how that looks at the moment, because it's changed with the low level of rates that we have right now, most likely.
Yes. So there's a couple of questions and all of that. So by way of the NIM. NIM movement through the future quarter, it would probably split 50-50 between asset growth and funding costs. We are seeing some nice pipeline to come through in quarter four, some growth in our book, which is a normal feature, particularly in the corporate and GBM area, where they are working on transactions that have to close by year end. So that's in some way supportive of both fees and to some extent on NIM. We've also seen some growth through quarter three, which will continue into quarter four by way of its NIM impact. And on the funding costs, as I mentioned, we continue to try to encourage customers into more transaction activities, and that then leads to increase in current account activity. So all in all, there are the two areas. I don't know if I can promise too much, but we can promise some stability by way of the NIM number at this moment. By way of interest rate sensitivity, our interest rate sensitivity for a 1% reduction is about 400 million when you include the impact of the Lombard issue, and therefore 50 basis points would be half that, annualised. No, that's the group. So if you take it that our experience has been that these things don't move in straight lines. If we sat here back at the last results looking at a 50 basis points cut in October last year and a 50 basis points cut in March, together with a lumber rate act, you would think we were going to be worse today than we expected back then. So the reality is we can take action to address that as best we can, but it is something that would have an impact naturally. I think it's fair to say.
I would have two questions. One regarding branch network. You mentioned that less and less customers use this and you will be optimizing this. Over the next 3 years, what level of downscaling you would expect? And the second question is about this 26 million costs which you mentioned in Q4. Could you specify what exactly this is connected with?
Okay, so, UOKIC, yeah, it's the interchange case with regard to UOKIC. Let me just state a few things. By the way, that isn't settled. That is something that may continue by way of its life. It's not something that is completely settled. But let me just mention a couple of things. You know, if you take it, 55% of our customers are active online. So whether that's mobile or whether that's on the internet channel. 95% of all transactions are digital. Now, currently, over 10% of all credit products are sold digitally, either internet or mobile. And 40% of our deposits are managed online as well. And that's actually increasing. So, you know, there's a natural move by customers, and it's not... We're not forcing customers to go onto these channels. It's their choice. And that's supported by the fact that particularly in the last 6 months, we've won a number of awards by being the best mobile and internet channel offering in the market, but from a customer perspective. So there's a natural movement here, Piotr, by way of distribution and being able to manage multiple distribution.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand trend, but my question is more about quantifying this downscaling.
So for now, we do not have plans beyond those 50, 60 additional branches to be integrated over the next 12 months. I think it's worth mentioning also that in some branches I visited over the last couple of weeks, we have good sessions with a couple of our regions and macro regions all around Poland with Mirek Skiba. And in some branches, we have the sales process increased through the mobile channels and internet channels to the level of above 50%, which is exceptional rather than the rule, because the average in the network is 12, 13, 14% for simple products like credit cards, overdrafts, and cash loans. But it's a trend nonetheless. So this is a very visible trend. By the way, the interchange is 22 million, maybe not 26, because 4 million we have already provided for, so it's slightly lower.
Czy są jeszcze jakieś pytania?
Do you have any other questions? Well, I've received a couple of questions via the internet. We answered the majority of these questions answered online. There's only one left, and I will read it as I received it.
Of downside risk coming from likely bank tax introduction, have you made estimates how it might affect the BZWBK bottom line?
Well, first of all, there's no clear guidance from the the administration with regard to what the rules of regard banking tax are. We have around 130 billion zlotys of assets, and depending on what the asset tax will be, if it's it's 39 basis points, it's 500 million. If it's 25 basis points, it's 380 million. So we just wait and see what the rules will be, or what the tax will be, or the formation of it. But it's based on current speculation. It appears to be just a multiple of basis points by assets.
Marta, proszę.
Can I just ask, what's the level of guaranteed deposits?
Sorry,
what's the level of guaranteed deposits?
60% of our deposit base is guaranteed. Correct. The consolidated deposit base. Sorry. 60% of the consolidated deposit base is insured.
Jeśli nie ma więcej pytań,
if there are no further questions, I would like to thank you all for coming, and goodbye. Thank you.